was my first Ash Wednesday service here at CLC. I'd only been here for about 4 months, so I was still kind of the new guy. It was the first year that we had decided to ask members to share their faith story as part of our Lenten services, and so it seemed like it would be a good idea to introduce that idea on Ash Wednesday. The only thing was, we also included a sermon that night, as well as the imposition of ashes, and communion, and music, and the full liturgy. And about an hour and a half in, with communion still going on, I was beginning to rethink the wisdom of our plan. So was everyone else. I had also been the one to mix the ashes for distribution. Now, if you've never done it, can I just say it's kind of tricky, and there's a lot of room for error. Okay? The ashes we use for the service in their normal state are dry and powdery. So you mix them with oil to make a kind of paste. Add too much oil and their consistency becomes that of jet black paint that just is kind of drippy and leaches into all the tiny furrows and creases in the skin until what began as a cross ends up looking like an indistinct blob. If you add too little oil, the ashes remain too dry. Add in the folks who like to come and furrow their brows at the last moment, so it's like you're driving over a washboard dirt road. Such are the travails of pastors. That first Ash Wednesday, I had erred on the side of too dry. So as one person after another came forward and I solemnly signed a cross of ash on their forehead, it invariably flaked off onto their nose, forcing me to try to avoid breaking eye contact by focusing instead on the end of their nose while also trying to keep my composure. Then Jill came forward, wearing a cream white sweater, and all the danger signals in my head started flashing red. And as carefully as I could, I drew the cross on her forehead, and to my horror, it immediately began wafting down onto her sweater. In the time it took her to turn from me toward her seat, there was as big a black smudge on her sweater as there was on her forehead. And all I could think was that I hoped she wouldn't look down and notice what I had done until she got home. I suppose when things begin to wind down, it's natural to spend time remembering. Certainly that is the case for me as I consider my time here at CLC in light of the handful of weeks remaining between now and April 19th. And I found myself reflecting on the difficult moments along the way, but also the very many more joyful and profound and hilarious moments we've shared together. I spent time last week with Guy, who accompanied me to Cameroon in 2005, remembering our adventures and near disasters on that trip and laughing through our shared memories. I think about how this campus has changed over the years and remember what it was like when I first got here. I found a picture yesterday when I was cleaning out some drawers of the very first Last Supper play that we did. And it was fun to identify all the people who are so much older now. And I reflect on people who have come into the congregation and been a part of our lives for a time before moving on, and others who have come and sunk in roots, and those who were here on the day that I arrived, the names and faces of people whose funerals I have conducted edge their way forward in my memory, some for whom death was a release and others for whom it came way too soon. But always it was the resurrection that I had the privilege of proclaiming, even at those most difficult moments. Memory and remembering is a powerful thing. That's what makes Alzheimer's so tragic, because it robs you of that gift. And the reason I mention all of that tonight is because Ash Wednesday is all about remembering and returning. It's the axis around which the whole worship service revolves. Remember, that's the way it begins. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Those words are as hard to say as they may be hard for you to hear. They represent a reality that no one really likes to think about. Because when I spoke them tonight, I was speaking them to friends and acquaintances and people who are an integral part of my life and for whom I care and whom I love and who I will desperately miss. I've been reminding you each in turn that you are dust, that there is an inevitable finality to your existence, that we all share a common fate and a common end, such that these ashes tonight bear a remarkable resemblance to what we will all look like in 100 years or in 1,000. And that you, like me, are frail and fragile and broken, and any effort that you make on your own to reassemble your life out of its burned-over, dusty reality is a fool's errand with as much chance of success as someone like me becoming an NBA star. None of us like saying it. None of us like hearing it. None of us like acknowledging that we are ash and that so are our kids. Because the truth is, we're all afraid to die. And pretty much any other time of the year, except tonight, we will do most anything to continue to pretend that dying is something that someone else does. Yet here we are, with our cinder crosses, remembering the very thing we most prefer to avoid, rehearsing our own funeral, remembering things we'd just as soon forget, recalling things more happily repressed. The ashes of this night bring to mind the setbacks and regrets that we all carry with us and how we don't know what to do with them as we struggle under their weight. Those things we wish might be forgotten, but somehow we can't forget them because they have been seared into our memory. The dust of our failings and sins remind us of our common heritage, our shared human fate, etched across our brow for everyone to see. But remembering these things has value, not because we can alter what has been, but because in the act of remembering and repenting, we are transformed and made new. It's perhaps not a coincidence that ash not only reminds us of death and dissolution, but it also is a cleaning agent. The grand paradox of this night is that the substance we carry on our brows not only reminds us of our end, but also reminds us of how we can be cleansed and renewed in the dust of our Ash Wednesday remembrance. And that's where the prophet Joel takes it up tonight, as he calls us to return and remember. Return to God with all your heart, he says. And the underlying question is how we can return to God with all our heart when we've divided our heart up into so many little tiny pieces and given it to so many little things. There's such small scraps of my heart left over to give to God because I've given it to so many other things that are not God. Things that I count on to camouflage the grim reality of my dustiness. Things I look to in order to fill the void created by my own temporariness. Things from which I seek love that simply cannot love me the way I want to be loved and need to be loved. We waste our hearts on all of it. And so we gather here tonight to return and to remember. We begin this 40-day period called Lent. That's all about returning and remembering. Returning with all our heart and remembering to believe. And so that's why this is good news tonight and not bad news. Because the soot smeared across your brow takes a specific shape and form. I suppose that is if we manage to get the mixture right. It's the sign of the cross. So it's not only a reminder of the reality of your mortality, but of the hope you have against death. All that we do as the people of God is in some way a remembering of all that God has first done for us. As Christians, remembering takes us back to our roots in the cross. That's where we come from. The ashes are placed in the very spot where the shape of that same cross was traced on the day of your baptism. An echo of the promises that were made to you the day that you were reborn. You may be dust, and to dust you shall return, but remember that it was love that formed you out of dust, and that it was out of love that God breathed his breath, the breath of life, into you. And it was love that led Jesus to a cross so that through his own dying, he could make your dying as transient as the darkness before the dawn. And he could put the pieces of your heart back together again whenever you return to him, always, always, always. Just as in a few minutes, while still marked with the ashes of our brokenness and mortality, we will taste God's mercy in the bread of life and the cup of his blessing, remembering them as a gift given to us through the sacrifice of Christ. Joel calls us to return, to remember, to believe. Just as all of us are ash, all of us are recipients of grace. The ashes of this night mark us as Christ's own, as people who know the cross, as living reminders of death and resurrection, and speak to us again of what Jesus has done. And so we wear that cross again this year, a bold and not so subtle reminder that Jesus died so that we might live.